Well, welcome you to our last session together, and it's been a great week. We started in Blanchard, Louisiana, and that was about 2 weeks ago, and we went over to Longview, Texas, down to Austin, Texas, Maxwell, Texas, and now ending right here in Bridgewater, and it's been such a blessing to my family. Thank you for being here tonight. This is an important lesson because the principles that we teach in our school, we taught you seven. They're not going anywhere if we don't frame them up. So what we want to do is frame them up. And this is not this isn't the details. This is just going to frame up a kind of a plan and share with you kind of what it looks like. So how do you take those X's and O's and blow the whistle? How do you take the zeros and ones and execute the file? You know, so how do you take it, the military plan, and make it operational? Every business, every group has a name for what we're about to do. We've got to make it an operational plan. So it's not good enough just to say, hey, defer, don't debate. It's not good enough to say, show, don't tell. We've got to talk about what it looks like at the local level. So what we want to do is create a framework so that you can begin to imagine what a congregational evangelistic machine looks like. His name is Winston Churchill. He's known to be one of the greatest orators in world history. He was born at the right time because Nazi Germany was ravaging the land. Adolf Hitler was taking his army, and he was defeating one nation after another. He got to the border of France, and Neville Chamberlain, who was the prime minister, decided that they could enter a peace treaty. And he decided that perhaps they could meet together with Hitler and somehow they could come together with a truce and Hitler would be a good dictator. The world warned Neville Chamberlain not to do it. They said, he'll break the peace treaty as soon as he does it. But nevertheless, Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser. He went to Adolf Hitler, he signed the peace treaty. The ink was still wet when the Nazi army started across France. It was in record time. In a matter of weeks, the Nazi army took out the entire nation of France. The British people, their morale had never been lower. The Nazi army literally was on the coast right across the bay looking right at them. They knew the bombs began to fall. The people's morale was low. And they knew that if somebody did not stop Adolf Hitler, that for the first time in history, Great Britain would be defeated. There was one man who knew that if something didn't change within the British government, they're going to lose the war. Now, Winston Churchill had an opportunity to go before Parliament to make a speech. He wasn't in the majority. His party wasn't in the majority. He walks into Parliament and he says, "My fellow countrymen, we have no plan. And he who has no plan is planning to fail." It was one of the greatest speeches in world history. The parliament voted, they made him the next prime minister, and literally that one speech, it turned the tide of the war. Brethren, I'm here tonight to echo the sentiments of an old British prime minister. We have no plan. We have greater plans for how we're going to reach the gospel in India than we do America. We spend more capital, more time, more board meetings. We spend more architectural energy trying to figure out how to build widows' homes, schools of preaching, Bible schools, orphanages in other countries than we do how to reach the lost in our community. By and large, in our churches, we have no plan. It's not that we don't love the Lord. It's not that we don't want people to go to heaven, but we just lack a plan. So what I want to do tonight is I want to frame up a plan. I want to give you some things that you can do at the local church or wherever it is you're attending. I want to give you something you can take back and you can begin to look at. What do we need to do? Give me the call to action. What's the first thing that a church should do if they want to reach the lost? Brethren, you need to have the materials to do the job. If we don't have evangelism materials, we're not going to be able to evangelize. It's amazing to me as I go to churches how equipped we are. We've got coffee pots, coffee makers, coffee stirrers, coffee creamers, coffee filters. We've got coffee cups, we've got coffee grinds, we got everything we need to serve coffee. We got refrigerators and microwaves and stoves and ovens and industrial appliances. We got spoons and forks and knives and tablecloths and table covers. We got chairs and tables. We have everything we need to open a soup kitchen. I want to know tonight, do you have what you need to reach the lost? We need Bibles. I mean, we need Bibles. We need Bibles to use. It's amazing how many people don't have Bibles. I'm not talking about the pew Bibles. I'm talking about large print, and we should have a stack of them somewhere ready for Bible study. And by the way, you'll almost solve the version problem every time if you give someone a gift Bible. Before your Bible study, write their name in it, give it to, hey, I just wanted to give you a gift. If you give someone a gift Bible, guess what Bible they're probably going to use in the study? The Bible you gave them. That's how you solve the version problem almost every time. We need to make sure we have evangelism materials. Whether you use Ivan Stewart's Open Bible Study, Fishers of, whatever it is you're going to use, back to the Bible, doesn't matter. Brother, we have got to have evangelism materials. I was at a congregation a couple years ago, and I was early, and the elder was meeting me at the church, and I said, hey, brother, I said, man, we're kind of early. He said, yeah. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, I want you to pretend I'm one of your members. He says, okay. I said, if I was one of your members and I asked, I said, I've got a friend and I want to do a Bible study with him. I said, where would I go get it? He said, oh, man. He said, preacher, we knew you were coming. Follow me. So I followed him down this long hallway. And he's turning the lights on, you know, and we get to the end of the hall. Preacher, they're in here. He tried to open the door, but it was locked. Don't worry. He had the ring of keys. He brought them out. We went through five or six keys. He opened the door. We went in. He turned on the light. He said, preacher, they're in here somewhere. Oh, they're back there. Yes, in the locker. We went to the locker. Of course, it was locked. We got out the ring of keys again. We went through six or seven. We opened the locker. He pulled out a stack of Back to the Bible. He said, preacher, we were prepared. I said, brother, I said, why are the materials that your members need to do Bible studies locked in a room and locked in a locker? He said, oh, well, we are afraid someone might get them. Isn't that the point? Why are our evangelism materials locked in the preacher's office? Put them out on a table. Brethren, we need materials. It's amazing how many tracts that we have around our churches and how many magazines are on our literature tables and how many books are in our libraries. I don't mean to be disrespectful. The conversion rate of a tract is almost 1%. It barely registers. I'm not opposed to tracts. I think we need them. I'm not opposed to good spiritual magazines. I think they're important. But we need evangelism materials. We need to make sure we're equipped to reach the lost. We need materials that reach people who believe in God and don't believe in God. Giving them a book by Apologetics Press is not a Bible study. You need a Bible study. You need to be able to sit down, fill out a booklet, answer the questions one-on-one. We need materials to train people how to do studies. We need materials to reach our community. We need materials to bring people. We need materials for new converts. Brother, of all the missions of the church, we can go without coffee. We can't go without evangelism. I think we can probably do both. Number two, we need to place that material in a highly visible place. You have a beautiful building. I would strongly encourage you. You need an evangelism center. You need a table right out there that you'd have to trip over it to get out of the building. Get yourself a beautiful table cover. Put your church logo on it. Put your name on it. But fill it with evangelism materials. Make it where the members can get it. I was at one congregation, and the preacher's David, and David said, hey, Rob, he said, when you finished that seminar, I was fired up. I took that evangelism material, I put it on a table. He said, man, I was ready. He said, I came back the next day. Rob, it was gone. I said, David, that's wonderful. The brethren were hungry. He said, oh, no, Rob. And he said, I put it out there again, you know, I put more material out there. And man, I came back the next day, and it was gone again. He said, I had a sneaky suspicion. I called one of the elders. I said, brother, I said, where's that evangelism material going? He said, oh, you mean that gaudy table you put out there? Yes, sir. That. He said, oh, man, David, he said, I'm telling you, he said, you know, when we built this $3 million facility, we agreed what would go in the foyer and what would not. And one of the ladies saw that gaudy-looking table, and they said, that was not an approved item, and it doesn't match our decor. We can't have things like that. It'll run off the people. So we put it in the coat closet so it doesn't embarrass us. You put the evangelism material in the coat closet. That's exactly where. And David, there's plenty of room. We built a big closet. He said, Robert, it took everything in my power to keep my mouth sealed. But I got into the pulpit that night, and I preached on the evangelism material in the coat closet. And I talked about back to the Bible, does it matter, believe the Bible. I said, brethren, when you're done tonight, go to the coat closet and get your material. I opened the door. I stood out by the coat closet. Guess how many brethren went in the coat closet to get the material? Just guess. Zero. Brethren, if we can't put evangelistic material in our foyers on an evangelism table because it doesn't match the decor, maybe we should sell the building and go home. We are the Church of Christ. We're not the Lions Club. Brethren, this isn't home decorating. This is the church. We need evangelism material on the table, and we need people to take it. If you require people to go to the church library, they're not going. It's probably the second most unused room in the building, the baptistry being the first. We recommend that churches immediately put the material out there because your members will not do Bible studies if you hide it. Number three, we got to train them. We have got to train our members how to use the material. A 30-minute presentation on Back to the Bible is not going to cut it. You need to actually put the teacher's edition in the hands of every single member. You need a preacher or an elder to get in the pulpit. We put the PowerPoint display up there, and you're going to fill out the entire booklet. We're going to underline every passage. We're going to circle the answer, and we're going to discuss any word that might be frightening. We're going to train the members how to do Bible studies, Cliff Goodwin told me. He replaced James Watkins and preaching the gospel, and Cliff is one of the finest we have in the kingdom. And I went to do some training in Ironton, and he said, hey, Rob, he said, I want you to know that when you finish that seminar, man, we got busy, Rob. We trained the church how to use Back to the Bible. Rob, we have baptized more people. I said, Cliff, that does not surprise me with your talent. He said, Rob, it's not me. He said, Rob, it's our ladies. It's our widows. It's my daughter, Kinley. Rob, they have learned how to do Bible studies, and they're baptizing people left and right. It's not me. You know what happens when you train the members how to do Bible studies? They just might do them. I had one of your older sisters came up to me, and she looked up at me. She said, Rob, she said, Rob, tomorrow I'm going to meet with my neighbor. I'm going to study with her. We have to empower our members how to do studies, train them. Those new converts, they need training. Those members, we need training. Everyone goes to training at work. I don't know why we don't do training in the church. A sermon won't do it. You have to train them how to use it. Don't do it on a Monday night. Why don't we train them Sunday morning when everybody's in the pews? If we can't preach Back to the Bible, we can't preach anything. Number four, we've got to create an evangelistic atmosphere in our church. We have got to promote evangelism in every single work we do. It doesn't matter if it's a vacation Bible school, a graduation banquet, if it's a benevolent activity. Everything we do revolves around bringing people to Christ. So nothing is separated from the mission. Brethren, the Lord gave us one mission, just one. And if we're working in the Lord's church and it doesn't pertain to the mission, we have got a problem. I've been taught that there are three works of the church: benevolence, edification, and evangelism. I think that's valid. Why do we evangelize? To save souls. Why do we edify? To save souls. Why are we benevolent? To save souls. You're not the soup kitchen. We were not created to solve world poverty. I don't care how much money and effort you pour in to solving the hunger issue, you're not going to succeed. That's not why God created the church. The church of Christ was created to save souls. So let me give you an example of what this looks like. Let's say we decided that all benevolence would focus on saving souls. What would that look like? Hello? Yes, yes, we help people. Yes, yes, we pay light bills. Oh, yes. We have food. Yes, we help people with gas. Oh, yes, we help with rent. Oh, yes, we help with mechanical issues. Whatever they ask me, I say yes. I never say no. At the end of the conversation, they're going to be so worked up. They're going to, hey, I've been looking for this church. What time can I get there? I said, well, sir, we offer benevolence every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and we can't wait to see you. Oh, 9 o'clock. Well, I don't know if I can make it. And I said, that's okay. We do it again at 10 o'clock, and we can't wait. Oh, I don't know if I can get there. That's okay, because at 6 o'clock every Sunday evening, we do it again. I just don't know if I can get. No problem, because on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll do it again, and we can't wait to meet you. Oh, sir, I don't have a car. Don't worry, because we have members who will come pick you up. How many churches have been burned so many times because of evangelism, because of benevolence, because of, you have been burned time and time again by the charlatans. You know, the people who always run out of gas in your parking lot. They're always coming from New York, going to California, and they always claim to be a member of the Church of Christ, and you know they're not. What if you told those people that we offer that service on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and if they're not a charlatan, they're coming. And they walk into your church building and say, we were told we could come and get some. Yes, sir, we're glad to help you. By the way, Andy has a little gift to give you in room 101. And you take him to room 101, and you just so happen to have these little booklets. Would there be anything wrong with conducting a Bible study during Bible class? Would that be unscriptural? Mel Hutzler told me recently, he said, Rob, most of our conversions at Northern Oaks are a result of me during Bible class, during Bible studies. He said, when we have a visitor come in, he said, I take that visitor and I immediately give my class to somebody else. I take him into a room and I do a Bible study. There's nothing wrong with doing Bible studies during Bible class. And when you're done with that Bible study, oh, what was it you needed? Oh, you need a little help? We'll be glad to help you. How many of our churches are involved in benevolent works that produce nothing for the kingdom? At the end of the year, no baptisms from your blessing box, no baptisms from your vouchers, no baptisms from the teacher supply list, no baptisms from the winter coat drive, no baptisms from the backpack drive, and no baptisms from the benevolent building. That is not what the Lord meant. Benevolence is a prospecting tool that God gave us to reach their souls. Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. You will not solve world poverty at the Bridgewater Church of Christ. But what we can do is offer to people what they need. And so when we're done with that Bible study and they say, well, I needed some food. How many of us would be willing to give food to someone who does a Bible study? I would, because no charlatan's going to do a Bible study. What we saw at Jacksonville was incredible. Her name is Kim. She called the building, and we announced the policy. The elders told the secretaries, and she called up, and she said, my name's Kim, and I got this house to house, and it says you offer free community services. By the way, do not call it benevolence. You know why you don't call it benevolence? They don't know what that means. But I promise you, they understand free community services. I notice you offer free community service. Yes, ma'am. I need some help with some food. Yes, ma'am. We offer that every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Oh, I don't have a car. That's okay, because we'll pick you up. Really? Yes, ma'am. We'll be there about 8:45, 8:30. And we picked her up, and at least the secretary did. Deb Rice, she pulled her up to the church building, and she sat with her. And Deb comes up and says, hey, Rob, she called for some from benevolent help. I said, perfect. I said, thank you, Deb. And I went over, and we kind of talked to Kim and got to know her a little bit. I said, hey, Kim, I said, what kind of help do you need? She said, I just need some food. I said, I'll tell you what, let's finish this little study here, and we'll go get you some food. And sure enough, we took her over to the Dollar General. We got her a little food, and we took her over to her house and an apartment. And I walked in. She said, well, come on in. And it was mold infested. I said, Kim, you got mold everywhere. She said, oh. I said, Kim, have you been sick since you moved here? I got this cough ever since I moved. I said, Kim, you got mold. I said, Kim, who owns this? Well, the city of Jacksonville. I said, I think we need to make a phone call. 2 weeks later, Jacksonville found a brand new place for Kim to stay. And I said, Kim says, well, Rob, I thank you, but I don't have the money. I said, it's okay. I said, Kim, we'll move you. Some of the men showed up, the Webster showed up, we showed up, and we put our trucks back, and we started loading up her furniture, and she's just overwhelmed. She gets to her new place, it's all painted and nice. She said, I've never stayed in a place this nice. I said, Kim, my wife and I were sitting on the couch, and I looked over at her. I said, Kim, what do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? She said, I love it. Of course she did. I never ask questions I don't know the answers to. Hey, Kim, do you know a lot about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Oh, I don't know a lot, Rob. I already knew that, but I wanted her to say it. Hey, Kim, would you like to know a little bit more about the Jacksonville Church? Oh, yes, I said, I just so happen to have these little booklets. I always have the booklets. I said, would it be okay if we sat down and read from the Bible? Oh, I love to read the Bible. I said, wonderful. What do you think happened when we finished? It happened 17 times in 1 year. This is probably the most important point I'm going to make this evening. Because, brethren, if we don't do this, your evangelism efforts will fail. If we don't create contacts in our local church, there will be no evangelism. You're going to have to focus like you've never focused before on training the church how to produce contacts. I've already given your elders the ace in the hole. I gave them the ace in the deck. I'm not going to talk about the ace. I'll let them talk about that. But what I do want to share with you are some other contact creators that work very well. If you had a business tonight and you started a business, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to promote your business. If they don't know you exist, they're not coming. If they don't know that you're part of the community, they're not shopping where you offer your services. Jared started a lawn and landscape business about 3 years ago. He said, Dad, how do I get clients? I said, promote your business, son. He said, how do I do that? As I started to go down the list, and it dawned on me, the same way Jared's business is going to grow is the same way we're going to grow. Number one, you got to advertise. I can't think of a better way to advertise than to put an 8-page full-color magazine in the mailbox of every person in your area every single month. You have got to achieve brand awareness. In the corporate world, they understand that language. Any company who does not achieve brand awareness will go bankrupt. If your church does not achieve brand awareness, they're not coming. They need to know you're here. Oh, but Rob, we're right off the highway. Brethren, if they don't know you're here, they're not coming, and they can literally drive up and down this highway and not know you're here. Oh, we've got a beautiful sign. They don't see it. You're going to have to use every means at your disposal. Signs are wonderful, but you've got to put it in their mailbox. Now, I want to share with you just a couple of things. Number one, let's make sure when we advertise our church, that we advertise our church. The phone number that you put on your house to house needs to reach a human being. It was just not long ago that I tried. I grabbed the contact information off a house to house for a church, and I called for 3 days straight, and I couldn't get somebody. Brethren, if I can't get you, do you think the visitor is going to get you? Whose phone should be? Whose number should be on the house to house, heart to heart? Your elders, your preacher, somebody's number needs to be on there so they can connect to a human being, not an answering service. If that's how you ran your business, you'd be out of business. When you want a product, you call that store, and if they don't answer the phone, you call the next door. You just lost business. We cannot have churches where you can't reach people. So I was at a church recently. I was pulling into town. I pulled up their website. I'm trying to figure out, where is the church? The website had the wrong information. My family was arriving at 6 o'clock because it said, we worship at 6 o'clock. They were done at 6 o'clock. Your information has to be accurate. You need to put your website, your Facebook page on the bottom. You need to offer services that actually attract people. Let me give you two that are almost a guarantee. Number one, free community services. They're calling. Oh, I guarantee they're calling you. What is it you offer us? Number two, free transportation to the church building. There are a lot of older people who do not drive at night. And if a church offered to pick them up, bring them to the church, and take them home, they're coming. We baptize several people like that. It works. What happens when you advertise? You get people that show up at your church building like Ellen Bethea. And so I was sitting in the front of the building. I looked over at my left-hand side, and I noticed this lady walks in, and I didn't know her. I went up to Alan Webster. I said, "Hey, Alan." I said, "Who is that?" He said, "I don't know. Rob, she's a visitor." I said, "Yes." So I pulled in behind her, and I'm just waiting for the closing prayer. I just cannot wait. The closing prayer is offered. She stood up. She turned around. I said, "Ma'am?" I said, "My name is Rob. What's your name?" "Oh, my name's Ellen Bethea." I said, "Well, Ellen, are you visiting this morning?" "Oh, yes, sir. Ellen, we're so glad you're here." I said, "Ellen, do you live in the community?" "Oh, just down the road." I said, "Wonderful." She's checking all the boxes. I said, "Ellen," I said, "how did you like our service this morning?" "Oh, I loved it." I said, "Ellen, what did you like about our service?" "Oh, that preacher of yours sure does love the Bible." I said, "Oh, Ellen loves the Bible." And I said, "Ellen, are you alone?" "Well, kind of. Well, my husband was with me, but he got sick, so he had to go home." And I said, "Man, I'd like to meet your husband." "Well, you know, we'd like to come back. Hey, do you all have an evening service?" Glad we weren't closed. I said, "Yes, we do, 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you come." She says, "You know, I'm going to bring my husband back." I said, "Good, because my wife would love to meet you." "Well," she says, "I hope you'll introduce her." They came back at 6 o'clock. We sat right there with them. And sure enough, after services, we're talking. And I said, "Ellen and Perry, we just so happen to have this little custom. You know what it is, don't you?" I said, "We always take visitors out to eat." I said, "Perry and Ellen, Perry, what's your favorite restaurant in Jacksonville?" He said, "Athena's." I said, "Perry," I said, "you got good taste." I said, "That's pretty good." I said, "I'll tell you what, our treat will take you to Athena's tonight." "Really?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well, man, if I'm going to Athena's, Rob, I want to eat and my stomach. So can I take a rain check to Tuesday? I'll be feeling." I said, "That'd be perfect, Perry." So Tuesday night, we pulled into Athena's. We walked in, had reservations. We sat around the table. I could care less about the lasagna. I sat around that table because I have one mission. I want a Bible study. I will get it. I sat around that table, and I'm fishing. "Perry, I don't know, what do you like? Do you like NFL football?" "Don't watch that anymore." "Disrespectful." I said, "Me too." I said, "Perry, do you like it? What do you like? Do you like golf?" "Too slow." I said, "Me too. I just don't have time for that." "Perry, what do you like, Perry?" He said, "Rob, go Alabama." "Oh, no. Go Alabama. If I've got to like Alabama football to get a Bible study, so be it. I don't care what team I've got to like. Brethren, I have one mission." Just one. I always complete the mission. God is good. I sat around that table. We had to talk Alabama football. "Oh, go Nick Saban. Rob, we've got a statue for him outside the..." I know you do, Perry. "And Perry, you've had a bad year this year in Alabama. Do you know what a bad year is for Alabama? That means you don't make the championship game." Perry says, "I know, Rob, it's been awful." I said, "Perry," I said, "you know, tomorrow is actually the championship game." It's tomorrow. Yeah. "Perry, I know Alabama's not playing, but would you like to watch it?" "Oh, I'm going to watch it." "Now, Perry, when we bought our house, the previous owner put a movie screen in our bonus room, and I think it's 9 speakers. Perry, you have never watched a football game until you've watched it on that screen. Would you like to come watch it?" "Really?" "Yes. I tell you what, we're having a football party. My wife's going to make all these pigs in the blanket. We're going to have a sausage." Ouch, what was that? That was my wife kicking me. She did not know about it. And we'll explain that later. And anyway, he said, "Yes, I want to come." I said, "Ellen, would you like to come?" "Well, yeah, I'd like to come." They showed up on Monday night. We sat in the living room, or the bonus room. We're watching the football game. It's a blowout. Halftime. Now it's my turn. "Hey, Perry," I said, "I got a question for you." I said, "Why'd you guys come to the Jacksonville Church of Christ?" He said, "Well," he said, "Rob, 21 years ago, you guys been sending us this house to house, heart to heart every month. He said, Rob, I like it. It's always about the Bible. Can I tell him, honey? Yeah, you can tell him. Rob, our church doesn't follow the Bible anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, Rob, the Methodist church has fallen apart. And Rob, we're looking for a church that follows the Bible. I said, really? I said, I just so happen to have these little booklets. I said, would you like to know more about the church? He said, we really would. 3 weeks later, we baptized Perry and baptized Ellen. Then we baptized their son and daughter-in-law. House to house, heart to heart brings you contacts. If you don't promote your church, they're not coming. They need to know the Church of Christ is in their community. You must establish brand awareness. If they don't know the Radio Shack is there, you're done. If they don't know that you exist, it's over. You must establish brand awareness. On the back, you've got to advertise your events. There are several events that they produce like none other. Let me give them to you. You'll probably be shocked. Backpack drive. That produces. Advertise a backpack drive in July, they will come. Vacation Bible School is still a winner, they'll come. Advertise a trunk or treat, they're coming. Advertise a meeting, a speaking meeting, a gospel meeting of some kind. You never know. If you don't advertise, they're not coming. The most frustrating part of this magazine is that we for free allow you to advertise whatever you want and you don't do it. Do you know who has to advertise for you? We do. We put filler in there. Every event that your church does should be advertised to your community. Every event. And you should establish congregational events, community events that draw people in. On the inside, we offer free things. Fill out the quiz. We'll send you a free Ten Commandment poster. Check off what you want. If you want one of these items, we'll give it to you for free. And there's books and articles and DVDs and booklets and tracks. And Deb Rice called me and said, hey, Rob, just got one of those house-to-house. They want to know more. And I said, well, who is it? Brenda. Do you know her? I said, I don't. Hey, Rob, she wants to know more about marriage. Rob, should I mail it to her? I said, absolutely not. But Rob, we always mail it, and that's because we don't baptize. I said, I will hand deliver it. Oh, we've never done that before. I said, I promise you it'll work. And so I went up to the office. Nicole and I did. I grabbed the marriage material for Brenda, and it took us a couple of days to find her. The address was a bit muddled. I finally found her, knocked on her door, and I stood back. Because I want her to see my wife. And I'm never going to go to the door of a woman alone. Never. I will always bring my wife or a child. You know why? Because the results will increase dramatically. If they see your ugly face, they're not answering the door. You scare them. Bring your wife. Bring a child. So I always stand back. I want them to see her. She opens the door. She says, yes. I said, yes, ma'am. My name is Rob. My wife, Nicole. And are you Brenda? Yes. Brenda, I said, you asked for some marriage materials from house to house, heart to heart. Oh, yes. I said, Brenda, I said, we've delivered it to you. Oh, well, that was so nice. I said, Brenda, I said, did you just get married? Oh, I did. I said, well, congratulations. How long ago? Oh, about a month. I said, well, Brenda, did you just move? I did. Moved from Oxford. I said, well, Brenda, we're so glad you're here, Brenda. And she said, oh, thank you. And so I guess you don't know a lot about the area. I don't know a lot about the area. And I said, well, Brenda, I said, would you like me to tell you a little bit about the area? Well, sure. I'd like to know a little bit more. So we're just talking back and forth. And she finally interrupts me. She said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, well, sure. She said, sir, she says, do you have a church home? I said, well, I certainly do. I said, I go to the Jacksonville Church of Christ. It's right across from Oh. Sir, can I ask you another question? I said, sure. She said, do you know anything about the Bible? I said, oh, just a little bit. Good, because my husband knows nothing about the Bible. Daniel, get off the couch. Daniel, you have guests here. And she goes over, she grabs Daniel, shakes him. He wakes up. Mr. Rob, Miss Nicole, I don't know what my husband does all day, but every time he comes home, he gets on the couch and goes to sleep. Daniel, get over here. Daniel comes over to the door. He's doing this. She looks at us and she says, Daniel, they're here to teach you the Bible. You could have knocked me over. Do you know what happens when you make personal contact with people? You just baptize them. Seven of them. You baptize and you baptize and you baptize and you just keep baptizing. By the way, one of those is Geneva. I got to baptize her older girl last year. I will baptize her middle girl as soon as I get home, because when I left, she looked at me and she says, Rob, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, what do you need? Nikea, she says, when you get home from Texas, could you do those back to the Bible studies with me? I said, oh, absolutely. It's amazing what happens when we evangelize. First it was Geneva, then it was Brenda, then her husband Daniel, then Winford. When you learn how to use a tool like House to House, it just keeps on giving. We need to establish a target package. We need a target list. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to establish a list of people that you work with, you go to school with, people that you are neighbors with, because we can't send House to House to the entire, we're not going to be able to send it to everybody, but we can make sure that not only do we saturate an area, we can personalize it and send it to every friend you've got. All we need is an address. So create a target list. So create your list. Why would you do that? Because you're going to go up to your friend a year later. Hey, by the way, about a year ago, I forgot to tell you this. I subscribed to a magazine for you. It's called House to House. Have you been getting it? Yeah. Hey, do you like it? Yeah. What do you like? Well, it's got some good articles. What article is your favorite article? Oh, man, I liked that one last week. Man, that article you had last week, you know, that was talking about, you know, marriage and, you know, how we should have men and women getting married. You know, I believe that. So you like that idea? I said, I've got a whole lot more. Do you mind if I drop by and give you some? Oh, yeah, man, I love to read stuff like that. It's called a contact. You need as many contacts as you possibly can. By the way, church, how many contacts does a church of 100 need to baptize 10? How many? Just guess. I know. Statistically, I know. How many contacts does a church of 100 need to baptize 10? You need 1,000. It takes 1,000 contacts to get 10 baptisms. You take 1,000 contacts. If you prospect 1,000, you're going to get 100. If you prospect 100, you're going to get 10 Bible studies. You do 10 Bible studies, you're going to have a 9 out of 10 return rate. We already know the numbers. One of the problems our churches face is they have no contacts. And they call them, hey, Brother Whitaker, we're having a problem getting baptisms. I say, how many contacts do you have? We have 2. Jesus did not say few are called. He said many are called. And few are chosen. Many of our churches read it like this. Few are called and none are chosen. Is that what the scripture says? By the way, who's the best contact creators in this church? Who are they? Who's your best contact creator? The members. Who's your worst contact creator? Wade Webster. You know why? Because he doesn't know who you know. He doesn't work with them. He doesn't go to school with them. If you want Wade Webster to do Bible studies, bring them to him. He'll be glad to do it. You grew up with him. How many of you know 10 people that are lost? Raise your hand. Do you know 10 people? Do you know 20? Do you know 30? Guess how many people I know that are lost in Jacksonville? Not many. I get excited if I can just meet one person. Brethren, you have the answer to the problems churches face. It's the members that have the answer. House to House will give you contacts. Let's be honest, not near as many as you got. You can outpace House to House any day of the week because you got them in your pocket. By the way, how many of you have a cell phone? Pull it out. Everybody pull out your cell phone. Right here. Let's do this with me. Pull your cell phone out. I'll show you. Open your phone up. Let it look at you. Now, hit your contact app. How many contacts you have in there? Look at it. How many? Somebody look at the contact app and tell me how many contacts you have. How many contacts are in your app? Anybody? Throw a number out. 100? 200? How many? 50. How many of those are Christians? You know what? Sometimes this little phone can bless your life because it's going to tell you every person who's not a child of God that's a contact. If you don't think you have contacts, get out your cell phone and go to your contact app because you got them everywhere. Brethren, they're everywhere. Let's keep going. We got to learn how to go door to door again. And we're not very good at it. Most of us go door to door and it looks something like this. Yes, my name's Rob, my wife Nicole. We're having a gospel meeting with Wade Webster. We'd like you to come. Are they coming? Are they coming? They're not coming. How many of you knock on 1,000 doors? How many people do you think are coming? Probably very, if any at all. It doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. How about if you did this? Yes, my name's Rob, my wife Nicole. Would you like to have a Bible study? How many studies are you going to get, brother? Zero. That does not work. So we have to reinvent door knocking. We have to find out how to achieve success. I'm going to give you just a real quick example of what it would look like in this community. Hey, Rob, we've got restrictions here. We can't knock on doors. It's all right. I'm going to show you how to do it. I want you to take a door hanger, like, does it matter? I want you on the back side to put a generic email address that reaches the church. Do not call it Church of Christ. Do not put the name of the Church of Christ on the door hanger. Just give it a generic email, put it on there. You know why? Because some people see Church of Christ and they immediately, oh, I don't want to be a member of any church. But if you put a little, if you put a generic email on it, it has a QR code on the back, they might take it, and you don't have to knock on their door. All you gotta do is hang it on the door. You can knock out 300-400 houses in a matter of just an hour. And you hang these on doors all over the place and don't put Church of Christ on it. Just put a generic email address that reaches the church. You know what's gonna happen? Someone's gonna email you and say, man, I enjoyed that video, thank you. That's called a contact, by the way. That's the only thing you want is a contact. We find that if you'll practice some of the techniques we use in door knocking, you'll have a 30% success rate. 30%. I didn't say 3, I said 30. You can still reach people, but we cannot do it like we used to do it. That does not work. We have to reinvent the way we approach people. That's called new movers. Right here in Bridgewater, you have 25 families moving here every single month. That could be up to 75 people, 100 people. Imagine, you got 25 families moving every month to this location. Do you know why that's important? If you owned a business, you would pay for that information. You would say, give me that information. I want that information. Several years ago at polishing the pulpit, David Shannon did a lesson, and this is what he said. I thought it was very good. People are most likely to change churches when they move. A couple of generations ago, if a couple or a family moved from one city to another city, they usually stayed in that same denomination. He said, those days are over. It doesn't matter to me what denomination they were in the last town. Your average person today is willing to look at any church in their neighborhood. This is a powerful opportunity for evangelism. It doesn't matter to me what church they were part of in the last town. I want them to visit the Church of Christ. At House to House, Heart to Heart, we will give you the address and the name of every person who moves into your community. Is that worth something to you? Not only that, we're going to send them a new movers edition, and we're going to send them a postcard, and guess how much that costs? $1. $1. We're going to do all that work. It costs $1 per address. You have 25 people in this community that are moving in every single month. We're going to do all the, we're going to send all that out. But you can't stop there. We're going to send you the list. Guess what you need to do? Right now, my wife is teaching your ladies how to go shopping in the name of the Lord. It's called God-authorized shopping. It's very good. You don't want to go shopping, Brother Bob, but they do. What happens if you commissioned the widow ladies and you went to one of them and say, hey, I need you to go shopping in the name of the Lord? Oh, what? We're going to give you some funds. Would you go to the Dollar Tree? And would you make us some new mover baskets? My wife right now has a print off of what to buy. And we're going to put 10 items in a basket. It costs $10. Well, it's Biden inflation, $12.50 now. And anyway, they're going to get these baskets put for 10, 12 bucks. And they're going to make, 25 of them. And then we're going to go out and we're going to deliver them. Guess what happens when you knock on a door and give somebody a gift? What if, Bob, you said this? Hey, my name is Bob. What's your wife's name again? My wife, Pam. And we're your neighbors. We understand you just moved in. We'd like to give you a gift. How many people get mad because you give them gifts? Not many. You get a few, but not many. So they're going to get the house-to-house, heart-to-heart postcard. They're going to get the house-to-house, customized to your church. They're going to get the house-to-house, heart-to-heart, customized new movers edition. They're going to get a new mover basket. Then we're going to flood them with cards. Oh, lots of cards. Because as soon as they give you a good response, we're going to add them to the prospect list, and we're going to shower them with cards. No, not one card with 20 signatures. We're going to send 50 cards. They're going to get 50 cards, new mover basket, postcard, house to house, heart to heart. What are the odds they choose you? Pretty high. Every week in our reports, there's someone just about baptized because of this. Brethren, if you don't go out to them, they're not coming. You have got to reach out to people. This right here, I think New Movers is one of the greatest tools we've got. I know if I owned a business, I'd pay for it. How many filters do we put these through? Isn't it like 19 filters, trying to get just as best information we can? It's about 70% accurate, I think. But 7 out of 10 times, you're going to have a legitimate New Mover sitting there. It's amazing the results you can get from this. You've got to learn how to do a card ministry. And I realize that many ladies are involved in card ministries. Let me explain what that looks like. Almost every card ministry our churches do focuses on the brethren. Brother Andre, I love your spirit. But let's just suppose that you got sick and the ladies failed to send you any cards. Are you still going to come to church? I'm not against sending cards to church members. I think you should send them. But what I'd like us to do is send cards to the lost. Let's send cards to every new mover. Let's send cards to every prospect. Let's send cards to our friends that got cancer. And let's send them a lot of cards. Let's send them, 3 cards a day for 3 weeks. You say, Rob, isn't that a lot? You'll get results. I know you'll get results. When Wade and Jennifer go to the door, someone who has received 50 cards in 3 weeks, and Wade says this, hey, my name's Wade, my wife Jennifer, and our church has been sending you cards. We know you've had some difficult health. You're the Bridgewater Church? Yes, sir. Sir, you got to come in and see this. Come inside, sir. There are 53 cards in my house. I've never gotten 53 cards before. Oh, by the way, my wife brought some goodies. Oh, that was really nice. Would y'all like to sit down and talk? Yes, sir. Hard to get mad when you love people. Consumer Reports reported several years ago on a car lot, and it was the top-selling salesman of the year. He's always the top-selling salesman. And Consumer Reports brought their cameras in. They said, hey, can we interview you? And they said, sure. He said, how are you always the top-selling salesman of the year? They said, follow me. So they took their cameras into a back room. They opened the door, and there were about, 8-10 older ladies sitting in there. He said, what are they doing? He says, that's why I'm the top salesman of the year every year. What do you mean? He said, they're writing cards. He said, they're writing cards to every single person in the city, personal cards, handwritten. How is it that the car lot understands this and we don't? The form letter from the secretary is not enough. Our children can write cards. You know, widows can write cards. And until Dr. Fauci tells us otherwise, everyone can write cards. You won't get COVID from cards. You're safe. It's all right. Everybody can send cards. We need to be sending cards. We need to send cards to the lost. It works. It works. Just ask Bettina. We walked into her room. She had cards everywhere. I sat down, and because you did your job, I can do mine. I love it when you do your job, because I love my job. And brethren, if you don't do your job, I can't do my job. You want to know why a lot of preachers aren't doing Bible studies? Because you're not bringing the lost. You bring him the lost, and he'll do it. Well, they brought the lost. They had cards all over her apartment. And I sat down with Bettina. Nicole and I are talking to her, and I gave her the three-question method. I love my three-question method because it works. It's part of our training, but here it is. I'll give them to you. Number one, Bettina. I said, what do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Oh, I love it, Rob. I already knew that. Of course she does. Have you seen the cards? Of course she loves it. Number two, Bettina. Do you know a lot about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Not a lot. I already knew that. That's why I asked the question that way. I wanted her to say no. Number three. Hey, Bettina, would you like to know more about the Jacksonville? Oh, I'd love to know more. I just so happen to have these little booklets. I always have the booklets. Because when I go to the lost, I have one mission. It's not to have a Bible discussion. I am not there to have a conversation with them. Brethren, I am there to do a Bible study. Period. Because that's what wins people to Christ. What do you think happened when we finished? Isn't it wonderful? It works. Brethren, what we're teaching you in this evangelism training seminar is not just an exercise of academics. This is practical. You can do it. And your elders will be leading you in it. These are called visitor bags. Right now, my wife is teaching your ladies how to go shopping in the name of the Lord. And they love to shop. And they're going to go back to the Dollar Tree, and they're going to provide the $7 basket. And she's giving them a list right now of what to put in it. And your ladies are going to come up with a lot of other things to go in the basket. And we're going to have these, I don't know, strategically located under a few chairs. I have a question for the audience tonight. What is the number one thing a visitor wants when they walk in your church? Does anybody know? What's the number one thing a visitor wants? They walk into the church building, what do they want? Well, I know, because Pew Research did a poll, and they gave us the results. Guess what people said? When I visit a church, I want, what is it? What is it? The elders are cheating. They want to sit down. That's what they want to do. They do not want Gabby Gossip accosting them at the door. They do not want Frowny Fred frowning at them as they walk in the building. And they do not want the men with the earpieces and the bulges in the side of their pockets interrogating them because you think they're a terrorist. They don't want any of that. They want to sit down. Brethren, they do not want the welcome center surrounding them. Where did we get these concepts from? It was not the Church of Christ. The Welcome Center. A lot of our churches look more like a community church than they do the Church of Christ. Let them sit down. Just let them sit down. Now, what should we do once they sit down? We should have families in our church trained on what to do. Train them. The elders know who you are. Some of you could talk to a wall. We want you to participate. We're going to train you to sit with visitors. You can no longer have assigned seats. I'm sorry. And we're going to ask you to sit with visitors, not with them on the same, but in front or behind. Don't make them uncomfortable. And as you're sitting there, just tap them on the shoulder. Sir? Yes? Hey, my name's Rob. My wife, Nicole. I think you're visiting, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. Well, great. We're glad you're here. Are you visiting from the community? Yeah. Just live down the road. Man, we're so glad you're here. Hey, we've got a gift we give visitors. I'll be right back. We're going to go get our visitor bag. We're going to pull it up. We're going to give it to them. There's one mission you've got. There's one thing you want. Do you know what it is? What's the one thing, everybody, that you want from that visitor? Anybody, what is it? You want their contact information. Got a question for the audience. When a visitor walks in and sits down, is that a contact, yes or no? Nope. If you don't get their contact information, it's called a wasted opportunity. Do you know how many visitors walk in our churches and walk out and we don't get contact information? Oh, well, we got a card in the pew back in front of you, and if you'll fill that visitor card, they're not going to fill it out. They don't fill it out. Guess who needs to fill that out? You do. We need to, hey, by the way, would it be okay if I got your name and address? We're a card-sending church. We'd like to send you some cards. Oh, yeah. My name's Bob Smith. I live in 123 Narrow Way. And that's exactly where we're taking you. You know why I give visitor bags? Because if I give you a gift, you'll give me your address. It just happens every time. Keith Ritchie walked up to Cameron and he introduced himself. And Cameron said, yeah, we just moved here. And that's his wife, Lindsay, and their little boy, a little girl. He gave him the visitor bag, filled out the contact information. Guess what the second thing you're supposed to do with visitors? Anybody know what the second thing is? Have y'all been listening this weekend? Thank you. Keith looked at them and said, hey, you guys got any lunch plans? We'll take y'all to, oh, sure. He takes them to lunch. They go to Baja. They sit down and they eat. Hey, what do y'all think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Oh, y'all are nice people. Do you know a lot about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Not a lot. Would you like to know more about the Jacksonville? Oh, sure. I just so happen to have these little booklets. 3 weeks later, he baptized them. You got to take people out to eat. You have to eat with people. It's relaxing. How many of you go on lunch? How many of you have business lunches? Anybody have a business lunch before? Where your business, they, for business purposes, they take you out to eat and you're sitting at a table. How many of you have ever been on a business lunch before? Anyone here? Absolutely. Why? I was told by a company head. He said, Rob, we get more accomplished at the steakhouse and we do a board meeting. Take them out to eat. You need to take them out to eat. It's very important. Dale is one of the top pharmaceutical reps in the United States of America. Dale Harris is very good at what he does. And I was talking to Dale one time and I said, Dale, you seem to win the top salesman award every year. He says, yep. Dale, you're always going on some free trip. He said, mm-hmm. I said, Dale, how are you the top salesman every year? He said, well, I'm not going to compete with you, Rob. He works for McKinsey Pharmaceuticals. He says, I take him out to eat. I said, what? He says, you never try to sell a doctor pharmaceuticals in the office. Never. You always take him for steak. Find the most expensive steakhouse and take him for steak. And when you're done, don't talk about pharmaceuticals. They'll buy everything you got. We can learn from the world. Here's what I learned. Take people out to eat. Eat with them. I mean, just spend time with them. Meals. That's how you make contacts. Brethren, how many times did Jesus eat with people? Remember, he went into the house of Simon and he ate with him. Why? Do you think he was there just to talk about the politics of the day? No. Jesus ate with people because it opens their hearts. There's so many things I could talk about tonight. I'm going to skip through a few of these. Let's look at this chart real quick. So what's the purpose of the church? What is your purpose? That's right. The purpose of the Church of Christ is to save souls. So let's just imagine a church that focused on everything we did. Every visitor that came, every person that sits in our pew, every card we send, every benevolent act we did, every door we knocked, every house-to-house we sent out, every new mover we put out there, everything from our digital media to our benevolent work, everything was about saving souls. What do you think would happen to the church? We would grow. To this intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places, it might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Brethren, it is your mission and duty to save souls. I would suggest if you're doing work in your local church and it's not about saving souls, shut it down until it becomes a soul-saving work. I'm not against graduation banquets, but it should be about saving souls, and it can be. How many non-Christians come to graduation banquets? A lot. Contacts. How many non-Christians come to trick or trunk? A lot. Contacts. It's all about contacts. You got to create a contact card for every member. Chris Grote is at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. That's one of their elders, Brother Garth. And we taught that church how to get contacts. The average church of 100 should have no problem producing 2,000 contacts a year. If you're not producing 2,000 contacts a year, you're not doing your job. I didn't say two, I said 2,000. They baptized 21 people in 12 months doing that. Your elders are going to teach you how to do this. Brethren, it will transform your church if you'll just learn how to use a bookmark. It's amazing what happens when we extract contacts from members. Number seven, you got to get everybody participating. Everyone participates, from the youngest to the oldest. No one's exempt. The Church of Christ is not about one person. It's about everybody. For the body is not one, but many. Number eight, you got to prioritize evangelism and make it the most important work of the church. It's more important than replacing the carpet. It's more important than repaving the parking lot. It's more important than painting the walls. It's more important than anything you do. I walked into an elders meeting one time and I said, brethren, I said, would you let me start the meeting? And the elders looked at me. I had seven of them. They said, Rob, is there something wrong? And I said, there is. They said, what's wrong? I said, we're going to spend the next hour talking about everything but soul winning. And I'd like us just to spend a few minutes talking about people who are lost. And I got the whiteboard out and I said, would you guys tell me the names of people that sit in our pews every Sunday that are lost? We came up with four men. I said, Mr. Hugh, tell me everything you know about Billy Hudson. I said, Jolynn, I said, tell me everything you know about Bruce Bartley. I said, William Smith, tell me everything you know about Samuel Gregory. We baptized all four within 2 years. We prioritized it. We made it the most important mission we had. By the way, we left those names up until they were baptized. Sometimes we need to be haunted. Sometimes we just need them to stare at us every day. They're lost until you do your job. Number nine, we need to publicize our mission from the pulpit. Don't hide it in the elder's office. Put your mission on the board. Give them the strategy. Help them see what they need to do to accomplish the mission. It's important, brethren. It's very important. And lastly, we need to pray about the lost. We should pray from the pulpit. We should be praying individually. We need to pray. Brethren, I want to thank you for allowing my family to be with you. We have enjoyed thoroughly the fellowship, and I pray that this gave you a sampling of what it looks like when a church becomes an evangelistic body. If you're visiting and you're not from Bridgewater, we would love to come and help your church learn how to be soul winners. We have an A to Z package, and we would love to talk with you. We have a digital enrollment. If you don't want to bring me personally, we can do it digitally. But we want to help your church. We want to help you win souls. We've had 2,720 baptisms in 4.5 years. And it's just growing every single day. God bless you, brethren. And may souls be saved. Brother Bob.
Thank you for being here. It's appropriate we end in prayer. Father, our hearts are uplifted. Thank you for bringing Brother Whitaker to us, and thank you for his work. Thank you for him coming here and sharing a way that we can be more effective in spreading your word and saving souls. And we pray that we can apply those principles effectively in the work here at Bridgewater. We pray that we will plant the seed and trust you, Lord, for the increase. We pray, Father, that you would go with us as we depart this evening. Strengthen us, uplift us, Father, Help us, Father, face temptation and give us the wisdom to find that way of escape. And bring us back, Father, at the next appointed time. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.